My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy. He is the man who led the prosecution effort against the Blind Sheikh and his associates in connection with the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. Now the charges have been filed against Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, the surviving suspected bomber from the Boston Marathon. We want to get Mr. McCarthy's analysis of those charges, the timing of them, and where he thinks prosecutors and other officials should be focusing their attention in the days ahead. And Andy, it's always good to have you with us.
How are you, Greg? Good to be with you.
Doing great. Good to have you with us. And you've certainly found yourself very much in a prominent position in a situation similar to this 20 years ago with the first World Trade Center bombing. First of all, what do you make of the timing? Some folks thought that this should have gone on longer with more intelligence officials gathering information before formal charges were filed. Others say this is exactly what should have happened. Where do you come down?
Well, I think that it would have been good to keep him out of the criminal justice system for as long as they could have. But the authority for doing that is dubious. But, you know, I know that a lot of people suggest that he should be designated an enemy combatant. My sense is that even if you designated him as an enemy combatant, that might only be a temporary designation because it's not clear to me that he fits under the categories of enemy combatant that Congress has laid out in the Authorization of Military Force and the Military Commissions Act. So he may not be an enemy combatant, which would make it difficult to hold him as a military prisoner. And, you know, the other thing about that is that he would be ineligible in any event for a military prosecution because the Military Commissions Act only has jurisdiction for trials against alien enemy combatants. So since he's an American citizen, he wouldn't be eligible for a military trial anyway. So there was no question he was going into the civilian criminal justice system. I would have held him out for as long as it took to, you know, get effective intelligence, you know, an effective interrogation of him. I have no way of knowing, you know, what information they actually got from him. But there was, I wouldn't have been in a rush to bring him into the system, but I don't think there's any question that he was going to be in the system.
Just how high is the burden of proof here on the prosecution? There would seem to be, obviously, a tremendous amount of video evidence from the day of the bombing, all the searches that have gone on since one brother was killed and the other one was taken into custody, not to mention the wild and dramatic process of taking them both out. So based on what you know from the 1993 bombing, just how much does the prosecution need to amass here, and how much do they need to make sure their ducks are in a row in what would seem to the commoner to be a pretty open and shut case?
You're quite right. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming, which is another reason why they shouldn't have been that worried about getting him into the criminal justice system. The worst thing that happens if you deny him Miranda warnings and interrogate him for intelligence purposes is that the court ultimately suppresses any statements that he's made. And since they don't need his statements because it looks like the evidence against him will be quite overwhelming, that shouldn't have been a concern for them. But on the, you know, to get to the chase of, cut to the chase of the question that you asked, of course they have to do their work to get all their ducks in a row. And that's why I would think they filed today a narrow charge that is enough to make sure that he's detained without bail, but at the same time allows them to do their work and keep digging as they prepare to indict this case.
The mayor of Boston, Thomas Menino, has said that these are the only two actors in this episode. The FBI is obviously investigating any other possible leads. Some say it goes back to Chechnya. Others are not so sure that this Saudi national who was originally questioned and then supposedly let go was not part of the deal here. So how many different threads do officials still need to be pursuing here from a prosecution perspective?
I think that our history is that bold pronouncements about who's involved and who's not involved that are made within days of the event have almost always been wrong. And I think people who have been through this kind of a process before know that you have to roll up your sleeves and start doing, you know, real comprehensive investigative work. Remember, we didn't even know who these guys were. We didn't know their names until Friday. So, you know, it kind of reminds me when I hear someone has gotten up and said there's nobody else involved in this, of the, you know, the chief of the New York City Police Department detectives the day after the founder of the Jewish Defense League, Meir Kahani, was assassinated in 1990 by Saeed Nosseir, boldly got up and pronounced that it was the work of a lone, crazed gunman and that it had nothing to do with any ideological motivation. There were no other conspirators. And what we found out afterwards was, you know, Saeed Nosseir, the shooter, was actually part of a large jihadist network that ultimately blew up the World Trade Center.
Andy, the fact that formal charges have been filed, does that mean he's technically been Mirandized?
I would think so. I don't know what his physical condition is. And again, you know, I think the people in the public debate are a lot more concerned about Miranda in this instance than I am, because I don't really think that they need a statement for him. And as Attorney General Mukasey has pointed out publicly, if they wanted to question him, they could question him for national security reasons, whether he's got a lawyer or not. So, you know, I wouldn't be so worried about Miranda at this point. But the fact that they have charged him formally means that when he's able, he will be brought to a court, presented on the charges. And the court will make sure that you know, that he has counsel assigned, that he knows he doesn't have to make any statements to the authorities, and we go from there.
What's your sense on the story of between the Russian officials and the FBI and the encouragement to follow up on the older brother, Tamerlan, but then somehow we lost his thread when he went back to Russia and perhaps his native lands of Chechnya and Dagestan, and perhaps it was a typographical error on a flight manifest that lost the trail for us. What does that tell us?
Well, it certainly tells us that those people who are saying that the immigration system worked in this instance are all wet. You know, one thing that's clear is that the system is completely broken. And I think the two lessons I take out of it is number one, we really need a major rethinking of, you know, the FBI's protocols that say that we're not going to take any notice of the straight line nexus between Islamic supremacist ideology and terrorism committed by Muslims, which is a terrible mistake. They basically take the position that unless you've gone from radical ideology to radical activity, they don't have any right to continue investigating you. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires that. That's their own regulations. And, you know, as we see again and again, you can't wait till something happens to start investigating. The second thing that occurs to me is I don't know what we know yet about whether the older brother, Tamerlan, was when he was overseas in these Islamist hotbeds like Dagestan and Chechnya, whether he was at the terrorist camps taking training or not. He certainly seems to have gotten training based on what we saw last week. If he had terrorist training while he was overseas, especially since he was not a U.S. citizen, he should have been ineligible to enter the United States under our law.
Andy, without throwing you into the whole immigration reform debate, both sides of this debate are saying that this episode in Boston is an example of why their side is right in this case. Those advocating for reform say the system is broken, like you just mentioned, and so they claim they have provisions in here to make this far less likely. Others say, you know, you start allowing for a pathway to citizenship for everybody in this country, then all of a sudden folks who shouldn't have gotten here in the first place are pretty much ensconced. So either side strike you as being far more right than the other?
Yeah, the people who think reform is crazy, who were right the day before yesterday and are right today. You know, I think, you know, the Gang of Eight, it's kind of dizzying to listen to their arguments, because up until about 5 minutes ago, it seems, they were saying the system was broken. And now after the after this massacre that we had last week, they're saying that, you know, the system worked this time. And they have provisions in there to make sure it continues to work. So I kind of can't understand where they're coming from, whether it works or it doesn't work. What doesn't work about it is that we don't enforce the law. You don't need a comprehensive reform to do that. You can just, like, start enforcing the law. I know that's a radical idea, but, you know, maybe they might try it. The other thing that I think is clear is that before you even think about 12 to 20 million illegal aliens, as John Fonte from the Hudson Institute argues in an important new research paper, our patriotic assimilation system is broken even for legal aliens. And that's that's obviously a problem that needs to be addressed before you start talking about increasing the legal alien population by 10 or 12 million people.
A lot of different questions on a lot of different fronts. Andy, we always appreciate your time and your insights. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
Andrew C. McCarthy is the man who led the federal prosecution against the blind sheikh Omar Abdel-Rahman and his associates in connection with the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He is also the author most recently of Spring Fever, The Illusion of Islamic Democracy. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.